I think it was pretty interesting, Mike, how you got a hold of me. What was the whole story here? Because some of you may not know this, but it couldn't have been more than, what, a month or two ago? And Mike calls me up and says, hey, we're kind of in a pinch here. I guess some presenter that couldn't present. And I'm booked solid all the way till late next summer. I mean, that's how booked solid I am. And over the last 6 months, I should have been booked this weekend. And this particular week was open. And nothing's booking. I'm like, what's up with this? And so finally I said, that's it. I'm just going to give up. If God wants me to have a week off, I'll take a week off. And then Mike turns around and gives me a call. And he says, well, we need you Monday through Thursday, which was perfect because I need Friday to get to Hope Channel and Derek Morris's church. And so I had to, last week was a Pennsylvania camp meeting, so it was only, you know, like 320 miles, so not too bad. And just worked out. That's the way God orchestrates. So, yeah, thank you for inviting me. I really do appreciate it. I've always left my travels in God's hands because you never know what He has in store. It was funny because I was traveling from doing a tour in Washington State down to California, and 6 months earlier, I was booking events. Nothing in Washington State would book. It was just like I'd make calls, nobody would return calls, nobody would answer the phone. Finally, I gave up. I said, that's fine. I won't go to Washington State. I'll just go down to Oregon and go south from there. I start calling Oregon and California. Phone's ringing off the hook again. And I didn't think of it until I actually got there. And then when I got there, which was early November, they had the biggest blizzard that they've had in 30 years. And I would have been stuck right in the middle of it. You know, so ever since then, I'm just like, hey, you know what? God knows my schedule better than I know my schedule. So I don't need to worry about it. Now, we've actually done cooking shows now in every single state in the country, including Alaska and Hawaii. Just did our 1,500th cooking program. And this year, we're actually headed off to Africa for 6 events over in Botswana. Next year is Iceland, and so we're now starting to go to a number of other places. So it's been pretty exciting going around the country doing this. Let's see here. Yeah, we get to do a cooking program today. I've got some burners cooking up here. They're getting there. Yeah, let me get some things going. What's the altitude here anyway? I can feel a little higher altitude than normal. But yeah, I do want to point some things out. Some of you may have seen me on 3ABN. We're on 4 different networks now. Loma Linda Broadcasting every week, Smart Lifestyle TV, Better Health TV, Good News TV, so we're getting around a little bit. And I've actually lost 65 pounds right now. I had lost 70, but I've been hitting the health club, so I've gained some weight back, but at least it's been in muscle and not my waist size. And I want to point some things out here because we're going to be talking a bit about health and nutrition here. A lot of people want to lose weight. If I remember right, this was 5 or 10 years ago, but West Virginia was the most unhealthy state in the country. I don't know where you stand now, but it's probably pretty close to that. Yeah, so I'm just waiting for this. Ooh, that one's boiling. Okay, we got it. Now, if you want to lose a quick, 20, 25 pounds, just wear black. I mean, I do things the easy way. That's right. And if you want to lose weight, though, there's a healthy way to lose weight and there's an unhealthy way to lose weight. So I'm going to show you the difference between the two of them. And this is a really upside-down world. It's so upside-down. My wife and I, we went to one of these Ross stores, and they had this beautiful frame poster, and they almost bought the thing. It actually said, never trust a skinny chef. And I thought, wait a minute now, shouldn't this say never trust a fat chef? I mean, I don't know where they get these phrases from, but 70 pounds later, I'm doing pretty good. Now, there is a difference, you know, you don't want to judge people because they're overweight, thinking they're unhealthy and things like that, okay? It's not always the case. There's a lot of people that are overweight who are perfectly healthy. And there's a lot of people who are overweight, and we're talking these worldly standards, that are actually way healthier than the slender people whose arteries are all clogged up with fat and cholesterol. But our brains are indoctrinated by this nutty society to automatically judge people by what they look like on the outside rather than who and what they are and what's going on the inside. Just that nutty world we live in. So anyway, let's get some cooking going. I've got things cooking up here. So what we're going to do here, this pot's boiling. I've got a little wind thing going on here. I'm going to put some coconut milk in here, and hopefully it's not going to boil over on me. Okay, we did it. That is coconut milk right there. We're going to make rice right here, and I want to do a coconut lime rice. Huh? Coconut lime, yes. Oh, boy, these lights are bright. That's not too bad for bright lights. Okay. Coconut lime rice. Here we go. So, coconut and lime. That wasn't very hard to figure out, was it? Now, if I was going to make rice, if you were going to make rice at home, what would the ratio be for rice to water? 2 to 1. Yeah, 2 parts water, 1 part rice. And it kind of depends on the rice, because some rices, it's 2 1/4. You know, so it just depends on the rice. But a 2 to 1 ratio is kind of your standard rule of thumb. We'll put a little bit of salt in here. I don't have salt. Oh, I do, right here. A little bit of salt in here. You got to watch out when you put salt in hot water, especially when it's got coconut in here, because it will just boil over like crazy. You ever do that? Yeah, because salt, what salt does is it increases the temperature by a good 15 degrees, just like that. And so that's why sometimes you put salt in it, it'll just boil over like crazy. So we're just going to leave that now. I'm going to put a lid on this. Now's when it really gets dangerous, because if I look away for just 5 seconds, it can boil over, and it will. Hopefully I won't have that happen. Okay, well, right here, we've got a bean pot. Now, this has black beans and pinto beans in it. Now, I brought these, heated them up. I let them rest for a little while. I even let them rest overnight and drain the water off. You have to drain the water off, and you can do it hot or cold. You can do it cold overnight, or you can do it hot just by using hot water, and within a couple hours, you drain the water and fill it back up again. So there's 2 different ways you can do it. But this one I actually let go overnight, and then I drained the water. It's about 3/4 full there, too. So, and then right here, we're going to cook up some potatoes. So all you got to do, you got some hot water, you throw the potatoes in there. Boy, that was really tough, wasn't it? This is actually the easiest day of my cooking. It really is. Oopsie, it's boiling. It is boiling, and within another half a minute, it would have been boiling over. So, here we go. Rice. We're going to put the rice in here. Oh, nope. Shut that off. It's already starting to boil over. See? So I'm just going to be real careful here. Woo! Glad I'm paying attention today. Okay. And we're going to get this baby boiling. I always give it a stir right away. Anytime you're doing rice or pasta, give it a stir right away. And that will help. That will help. That will help. I always look around just to see if there's anything. There we go. Okay. Now I'm going to pay attention to that again. And hopefully I won't mess it up. Okay, so we got our beans, we got our rice, we got our potatoes cooking. The potatoes, I'm going to put some red potatoes in here. But I don't want to put those in here now. I want to let these potatoes cook. And then I'll put the red potatoes in, because that way they're all going to be finished at the same time. If you put them all in at the same time, then you got to try to dig out the potatoes that are cooked while the other ones are still cooking, see? So about halfway through this process, then I'll put in the other potatoes. And so just pay attention to that. right here, we're going to make bulgur wheat. Now, bulgur wheat is a whole grain. This is cracked whole grain, so it's not a big processed item. And this is a ratio situation too right here, because I've got one part bulgur wheat and two parts of water. 1-to-2 ratio works really good for the bulgur wheat. And then I'm going to go ahead, give it a little flavor. What we're going to do here is what is called fusion cooking. If you don't know what fusion cooking is, that's where you take different cultures from around the world and you mix them together. So I'm actually going to get this to be a little Asian flavor just by adding a little soy sauce to it. Just a little. Oh, you want more? Okay. But it's low sodium. They're big pots. I know, it throws people off with how big my pots are and stuff. All right, so we're going to get that baby boiling. This one, I'm just really concerned about it, so I don't run away too far yet. And everything else is cooking good. All right. Now, for flavor here in the bean pot, let's do some flavor because it needs some flavor. Beans are great, but we're going to do some chili powder, cumin, garlic, onion, and salt. I want to share with you a little bit about ratios, okay? If you learn how to cook with ratios, you're going to have a lot more success when it comes to cooking. Now, this rice is starting to boil right here, so I'm going to set my timer for 25 minutes, okay? We're going to boil it for 25 minutes. I have a 1-to-3 ratio in here. I've got one part rice, three parts of liquid. Between the water and the coconut, it's a 1-to-3 ratio. And then after 25 minutes, I'm going to drain the water off of it and then put the lid on. We'll let it rest for 25 minutes and you'll have the perfect rice. So it's a different way. I'm showing you different ways to cook in the kitchen than you're normally used to. So the beans, your best ratio for chili powder and cumin is one part cumin and two parts chili powder. 1-to-2 ratio. Some people don't like a lot of cumin, so their ratio might be like a 1-to-3 ratio. And so one part cumin, two parts chili powder. If you get that ratio, that'll work for all of your Southwest flavors. A lot of your Mexican cooking works really good on that 1-to-2 ratio. Now we're going to do the same thing with the garlic and onion. It's going to be one part garlic and two parts onion. Make sure you measure everything precisely. And I know what people are saying, too. They're like, why is he putting a bunch of onion powder in there? He just put a whole bunch of onions in there. Well, I haven't put the onions in yet. I got them here. I better make sure I get those cut up, too, here. But the reason you can do both is because they taste totally different. Now, technically, there's 5 flavors to an onion, okay? You have raw, translucent, golden, brown, and dark brown. That's the 5 official flavors of an onion, and every one of them tastes completely different. So if your recipe says, you know, use golden, or you'd have to water saute them or broil them to get that coloring, and it will make your recipes taste different. So, so we've got our garlic and onion in there. We'll put a little bit of salt in here, and that should be good to go. All right, and I'm using sea salt today. I like pink Himalayan salt, and I like the, there's a couple other salts I use. There's a dirty salt that we get from Utah. It's in big chunks, though. You got to break it up. Most of it's salt. I mean, for the most part, salt is salt. But, you know, some have more and less nutrients. Okay. This is kind of boiling here. This is the bulgur wheat. Now, we got this boiling. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this aside. Woo, that's heavy. And we're going to let its own energy do the cooking. And in 45 minutes, we're ready to eat. And so that'll be the topping there. All right, let me get some cutting going here. I guess I can tell you a little bit about myself. Might as well start out with that. We've got 4 days here, but... let me start out. Grew up in South Dakota, little town of 300 people. Went to college up in Tacoma, Washington. And back when I was in college, I worked at 100 different restaurants. And back when I was in those restaurants. I'd be in a restaurant for sometimes a week or two, and then I'd go to another restaurant. And it was so easy to get jobs back then. Oh, man, I loved it back then because you could get jobs so easy. I could go in a restaurant and just show them my resume. They'd be like, "You're a cook? When can you start? Can you start today?" So I really learned a lot about cooking, working at all these different restaurants. And after college, I went to go check out culinary arts schools, found out I knew more than the instructors did. So I never went to culinary arts school. I have been offered jobs as a culinary art instructor at different universities. And a couple of culinary art schools and everything. And ended up in Las Vegas, Nevada. Went to Las Vegas, got a job as a sous chef, and then an assistant executive chef. And then at the age of 24, I was the youngest executive chef ever of a casino in Las Vegas. Yeah, 24 years old. My biggest event was 30,000 people for one event. Yeah, my biggest series was 1.2 million plates of food in 9 days. Yeah, this is the size of my dishwashing team. Yeah, for one shift, too. It'd have to be one shift. And so really doing a lot of big volume cooking. And I still have all my fingers, too, by the way. Yeah, just to let you know, I do have all my fingers. In fact, if you want to know how to use a knife, we got time. I can show you how to use a knife real quick. Sure, why not? All right. You want to take the knife, your finger, you point your finger right down at the table. The knife is going to make contact with the first knuckle of your index finger. Now, you want to have your finger where you're cutting the food. My finger is usually right on the food. You don't want your finger up here by the handle, or you're just going to chop your knuckle off. And if your finger's down by the tip of the knife catches your finger. So it's got to be where you're cutting the food. Now, as long as the knife never leaves your finger, and the knife never leaves the table, it's really impossible to cut yourself. See, it's when you start going airborne, you know you're going to have problems. So just calm down. You take it one slice at a time. And so you're going like this, and you're getting your range of motion. And once you have your range of motion set in with your wrist there, then you can start doing the lifting. But you got to get that range of motion habit forming. It's a habit forming. So just like this. That's the way you would do it later. But you can start just by keeping the knife on the table. Just keep the knife on the table, and you're never going to have that problem. So just like that. And since I'm here, let me share with you, we're going to do a quick water sauté. Why not? We got time. This is an easy cooking program today. This is an easy one. So we'll get those babies cooking. For a water saute, I've got a fresh bottle of water here. I got water right here. Improvise, overcome, and adapt. There we go. Water saute, you let this saute till the water is gone. Then you add more water. You saute it till the water is gone. Then you add more water. Saute it till the water is gone. And you just keep doing that until you have your sauteed peppers and onions. I'm going to put these right in here. We'll add this to the pot. It's a bean pot. I'm in the wrong pot. I just did the wrong pot, didn't I? I'm so used to having my bean pot over there. So how do we do this? Do we start over? Do we do a retake? Do I come back in a half hour? Oh, I'll just let it cook. It's just potatoes and carrots in there, so or potatoes. So it'll make them taste better. That's the way. Yeah. Now I'm going to have even better flavor out of that. That's how you think on the positive side. All right. Now, of course, like me, I do multiple carrots at a time. See how I do that? And I'll share one more thing with you since I'm right here. If you're going to cut carrots like this, what I do is I'm going to cut this carrot in half. Now, see how carrots roll. So there's no stability there. And so you don't want to cut things that don't have stability. Where even this way, you've got some stability. So you lay it on the flat side. And if it's on the flat side, then it's solid. You got stability. And I always cut the bigger side first. So if they're all pointed this way, we're going to cut the biggest side and then work our way down to the smallest. And it's just safer than trying to go to the biggest side and make those last few cuts. So, okay, so you get a little cutting 101. Okay. All right, now we're going to go ahead and put this right in our bean. Okay. I just see anyone who's paying attention out there. Nice part about cutting them in half, they don't go rolling all over the place either. So, okay. There we go. Yeah, so anyway, I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I catered for a lot of celebrities. Jack Nicklaus and Montel Williams and Styx and Journey and REO Speedwagon and so many celebrities, I can't even count all of them. And but then I started working for the federal school lunch program. And I had two properties. I was with juvenile detention and a school. And with the federal school lunch program, not one single time did we ever get fresh fruits and vegetables. Mostly what we got was bags of eggs, blocks of cheese, boxes of meats, a lot of pre-made stuff. We had the pre-made grilled cheese sandwiches in cellophane, you know, just heat and serve. Pre-made cholesterol dogs with chili dogs with cholesterol and cheese and everything loaded with cholesterol, cheeseburgers, forced to feed this to the kids. Hasn't changed much over the years. Now, I did like what Michelle Obama was doing when she went into the federal school lunch program, really rattled people around and said, hey, we need to do something better for these kids. The problem is you did not have the intelligent people in those positions that knew enough about nutrition. Actually, it ended up becoming worse, a lot worse. Yeah, great intentions, but horrible implementation, which is typical of most governments, you know, nowadays. In fact, I've got an article here. Let me share this with you. This is from, if I have it today. Yeah, from the New York Times. 2011, so we're talking 8 years ago. 8 years ago. Congress has officially declared pizza as being a vegetable on the federal school lunch program. Yeah, pizza's a vegetable now. Lobbyists spent $5.6 million buying off Congress. This is the nutty, upside-down world we live in. I'm going to share with you more about how upside-down this world is over the next few days, too. But this is how crazy it is. I don't know what's next, but I'm thinking maybe we could take those chicken nuggets and maybe we could start calling those a grain, right? I mean, they're breaded. Yeah, pretty soon all the kids will be vegetarians. Just recategorize all the food. You know, it's kind of what they're doing out there. Just that nutty world we live in. And anyway, I started working for, I just want to make sure that's not sticking down there. I started working for Sodexo. I don't know if any of you know who Sodexo is, but they're the largest hospitality management team on the planet. 500,000 employees. They're as big as Walmart. Now, I was an executive chef for Sodexo, and my job was to open up new hospitals. So they'd fly me into town, I'd hire the crew, train the managers, whatever it took to get that hospital open was on my shoulders. And then they'd fly me off to another property. Now, sometimes I was doing remodels, and in between hospitals, there was two hospitals in Vegas that I was at. And in those two hospitals in Vegas, you know, sometimes I'd be there for a couple months waiting for the next hospital to open. And usually I'd just take care of the doctors and the VIP stuff and things like that. And here I was pushing 320 pounds. I had a 48-inch waist. That was my biggest waist size. And I'm looking at myself saying, man, I got to do something. I'm going to end up being one of these people in this hospital. And all the doctors and nurses were telling me, they're saying, yeah, you got to lose some weight. But they said most of the people were in there because of their diet. And it usually came down to the cholesterol and the saturated fats. And I told the doctors one day in that lounge, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go 40 days without any red meat. And they were like, yeah, go for it. So that's what I did. I went 40 days without any red meat. Now, the first 5 days was kind of rough. I mean, I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this. But I stuck to it. I'm pretty good about conviction. And the next 30 days, I was fine. had no cravings for red meat. And then all of a sudden, the last 5 days, I started craving red meat again. And I'm like, how is this? I just went 35 days without any red meat. Now I'm going to crave a hamburger? Closer I got to my 40 days being up, the more I was craving it. It was like 1 day left. And I was calling my friends on the phone. I was like, let's go hit the prime rib buffets, which we did. It's Vegas, okay? We get all-you-can-eat prime rib for $5.95. Now, I like buffets now because you can eat very healthy at buffets, lots of healthy options. But I couldn't figure out the problem. How, after 40 days, could I be craving red meat that much? And I figured out the problem. Well, actually, I figured out the solution, okay? And that is that we need to make sure that our minds are in control of our bodies instead of our bodies being in control of our minds. Amen? See, this is what's going on out there. People are giving in to their bodily cravings in more ways than one, but especially when it comes to food. They just give the body whatever the body wants, and then they wonder why we're so unhealthy. We need to make sure the intelligent part of our body is making those good choices on a daily basis. And I'll tell you what, the doctors were loving it. Dr. Pwabu, Suresh Pwabu, he came up to me and he says, Mark, I want $100 off you this week. It's Vegas. They gamble on anything in Vegas. They have deathbed pools that you can bet on which bed is going to have the next death in the hospital. If you get sick, come home or something. Get out of there. He said, Mark, you got to get off the milk and cheese. He said, that's the worst of anything. In fact, what was it? Farmingham Medical Studies. Let me share this with you real quick here. Right there. Cornell. Cornell University. They said if you're going vegetarian, so you're not eating any meats, but you're consuming milk and cheese, they said that's like going from 60 cigarettes a day down to 50 cigarettes a day. You're just not doing your body that much good. You're actually better off getting off the milk and cheese. Now, that's Cornell University's quote. So I told the doctor, I said, I'm going to go all vegan, no animal products whatsoever. He's like, yeah, go for it. So that's what I did. But this time, I did not put that block wall out there 40 days later for me to run into again. I said, I'm just going to get on this path and keep taking steps. Now, if you run into a stumbling block, turn it into a stepping stone and take more steps. Just keep taking steps. And I'll tell you what, within a couple weeks, I started feeling a lot better. Within a month, I was like, man, I'm losing weight, hitting a new hole in my belt loop. That's when I really started getting excited. Started going down to the doctors and picking their brains every chance I had. I mean, I was just really getting into what they were saying. Doctor said, come on and get a blood test. Let me share this with you real quick here. I got my little blood test here, a little before and after for you. Yeah, I said, come in and get a blood test. So I did. And let's see, I've got 60 pounds difference in between these two tests. And a couple years difference here. My cholesterol used to be at 263, probably well over 300, okay? But I was already getting healthy, okay? I'm giving you the official results, though. 263, now it's down to 118. Triglycerides were at 274. Now they're at 91. HDL went up. LDL went down. You know, H for higher, L for lower. My LDL went from 159 down to 59. Dropped 100 points on the LDL. I mean, everything on here was perfect. Calcium, 9.2. Actually, on the high side. You know, these people out there are like, oh, I got to get more calcium. And they're over-consuming calcium. You know, calcium is one of the causes of osteoporosis. You ever see those commercials for Boniva? And the lady's sitting there saying, make sure you drink lots of milk and eat lots of cheese. She's telling you to consume the food that causes the disease that she's selling you the drug for in the same 30-second commercial. They know for a fact milk and cheese cause osteoporosis. You know, protein, 7.0. Perfect. You know how everybody's like, where am I going to get my protein? I got to get more protein, right? Let me share this with you real quick here. Where's it at? I got to figure out where I'm at here. Protein. Baked potatoes, 3.9 grams of protein per serving. Peas have 9 grams. Lentils, 16 grams of protein per serving. Broccoli, 5.8 grams. Spinach is at 5.4. Brown rice, it's got 4.8. Even a banana has 1.2 grams of protein. Look, you are never going to have a problem not getting enough protein. It does not happen. In fact, let me share this with you real quick here. This is a book called Nature's Robots. It's the entire science of protein through the generations. I mean, this is the most complex scientific book you're ever going to want to take a look at. And what they discovered was the amount of protein the body needs. They took the highest amount of protein anybody would ever possibly need, and they doubled that. Now, William Rose was the head of it, multiple universities. And so that was their recommendation to the FDA and the World Health Organization. And then those people doubled that. Now, if you go right on the World Health Organization's website, this is their statement. The average man needs 55 grams a day. The average woman needs 44, when it should be 11. Okay, but just on their statement, 55 for men, 44 grams of protein for women. National average in America is 120 grams a day. So we're almost three times the amount of protein we're supposed to be having according to their standards, which are way too high. And if you look at the actual standards that was the high end anyway, we're over 10 times the amount of protein that we're supposed to be having. And now they know for a fact, too much protein causes kidney damage. Too much protein causes kidney stones. This is the federal government's website, the National Library of Medicine. Renal patients that they put on low-protein diets live years longer than renal patients they put on high-protein diets. And they still put renal patients on high-protein diets. Throw some gasoline on the fire and kill them quicker. That's exactly what they're doing. And let me tell you, this was 25 years ago they knew this. And here's the latest information. This just came out. This is the Journal of American Medical Association. 26-year study. I need to get a little more water in here. I'm going to do another round of water sauteing here. This is called multitasking, by the way. 26-year study, multiple universities. Here we go. Here's the statement. High animal protein is positively associated with mortality, while high plant protein is inversely associated with mortality, even in people with multiple lifestyle risk factors. In every single case, animal protein kills you quicker, plant protein makes you live longer. So there's a big difference between these two proteins. You know, but, you know, we just hear, oh, I got to get more protein. More protein, more protein. Let me see here. Let me ask you the question here. What are the three ingredients, we'll just take the top three, that society's always telling you that you need more of? It's going to be protein, nutrients. I'm sorry, not ingredients, nutrients. Protein, calcium, and probably vitamin D rounds out the top three. Oh, yeah, you need more vitamin D. You need more protein. You need more calcium. Okay, protein, calcium, and vitamin D. All right, what are the three nutrients? Basically, the only three nutrients you get out of animal products. Protein, calcium, and vitamin D. The exact same three. Now, isn't that a coincidence? And even though we have the highest consumption of animal products in the history of the planet, how can we be the lowest on those exact same three nutrients? See, it's just not possible. And it's not true. The reason we believe this is because we live in this fragmentized society. And as long as you hear things enough times, you're going to believe it. And the better the lies are presented, and the more often you hear it, the more absurd the truth is going to sound. You know, it's not necessarily these people are lying either. But I'll give you an example. Just go to the grocery store. All right, we're going to put these other potatoes in here. Whoop. Just go to the grocery store. Everywhere you look in the grocery store, high in protein, fortified with vitamin D, calcium supplemented. It is everywhere. And we see this over and over and over and over, and we think, oh, I must need more. There was a doctor on television last year saying, now you know you need more protein. I was like, more than what? He hasn't even seen my blood test. What kind of doctor would diagnose you looking at a camera lens? He's trying to sell you a product. But we hear it. It must be true. I heard it on Fakebook. That's where I get my news. But it's just that nutty, upside-down world we live in, huh? No, I got him in the right pot. Yeah. I'm surprised I did that, because usually I have these reversed. So I'm trying to pay attention here. All right, let's check our timer here and see where we're at. 44 seconds left. So I can go ahead and shut. In fact, I'm just going to cancel and reset this for another 25 minutes. So here's the rice. Hopefully, I can drain it right here because I'm not going to need this one today. These are really cool. Have you ever seen one of those? Goes right on here, stays in place. Yeah. So we're going to drain the juice off of here. Woo! Okay, I had a little too much water in here. So once you get right here, get most of that water drained off. Then, I'm just going to leave that. We'll put the lid on it, and we can let this rest for another 25 minutes with the lid on it. Then we're going to have our perfect rice. And I'm going to get this water going, and we'll do up some pasta. And can you see how this is darkening up already? Anybody? Yeah, I mean, it really darkens up fast. And it just takes a couple times, and you're going to have your water saute done just like that. Now I'm going to put this in the beans with the onions and everything. So there we go. Okay. And we'll get this out of the way. Okay. Now as far as today goes, let me share with you what we're doing here. I don't have a lid for that, so I'm going to have to leave that for now. You'll notice that everything I'm cooking up here is carbs. This is the other myth that's going around society. Stay away from carbs. Stay away from carbs. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. You know how many people are saying, oh, don't eat carbs, don't eat carbs. I'll give you a perfect example here. Quinoa, 21% carbs. Oats is 66% carbs. Bananas, 23% carbs. Potatoes, 20% carbs. Beets is 11%. Blueberries, 14% carbs. Chickpeas, 27%. I've got some chickpeas right here. Are you telling me I should not eat these healthy foods? So if anybody's telling you to stay away from carbs, they don't have a clue about nutrition. You know, now you need to know the difference between complex carbs and simple carbs. Eat the potato, not the potato chip. Okay, big differences here. So what we've got over here is our, I call it the Fabulous Five, the five healthiest foods you could ever possibly eat. That's going to be your potatoes, your beans, your rice, your whole grains with the bulgur wheat here, and then rounding out the top five would be oats. And we'll be using those on Wednesday's program. I'm going to teach you how to make an oatmeal station. Diabetics. All right, well, let me share with you a little bit about diabetics, especially when it comes to white rice and white potatoes. You know how they were saying white rice and white potatoes, stay away from that, spikes your blood sugar and things like that. They did tests with thousands of people and said, yeah, sure enough, you know, it's doing this big spike and everything. And so they recommended people stay away from white rice and white potatoes. Then they went back to those studies. This is what happens. They always go back a few years later. And there was just these couple people over here. They did not have the spike like everybody else, just this little handful of people. And so they did more studies and more studies, found out they were vegans. And they did more studies and more studies and found out it only spikes your blood sugar when it's in connection with animal protein. And if you're not eating the animal protein, it does not have the spikes like it normally would. So that's the first issue when it comes to type 2 diabetics. Type 1, type 2 diabetics. And I'm going to show you how to reverse type 2 diabetes over the next couple days as well. But here's your five healthiest carbs. And I understand if you're a type 2 diabetic, you can't just go eat a bunch of carbs. Statistically, the people that eat the most carbs have the least amount of diabetes. Now, here's the thing that a lot of doctors and scientists don't understand. Just because you have a reaction to carbs because you're a diabetic does not mean that carbs are the cause of your diabetes. Okay, that's the reaction you're having because you have this disease. Same with celiac disease. Wheat is not the cause of celiac disease. That's the reaction you have because you have celiac disease. Let me put it a simple way. If you get in an argument with your spouse and you're just rah, 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 going off, and your spouse reacts in a really bad way, do you think that your spouse is the cause? No. She's the, or he, whoever, is doing the reaction to the way you were. You know, so you can't say that the reaction is the cause. You understand what I'm saying? It just doesn't work that way. And when you study things out, you find out that's the case. It's not always the cause, it's the reaction. So, anyway, let me share with you one more step here, because you see all these healthy carbs that I'm doing. Here's our chickpeas. These have been cooked overnight, and they're just perfect right now. They've been cooking overnight, and but I cooked this on low, and then I set it on warm. So what I did was I cooked it very, very slow. The reason you want to cook it slow like this, just so they swell, and that way you don't have a bunch of mashed up beans. What I normally do is I try to, anytime I'm cooking beans, except this one's going to be a soup, see? This is going to be a bean pot, so I don't care if these bust up. But you can see what happens. Anytime you go over 200 degrees, 212 is boiling, you know. If you go over 200 degrees, now you're agitating, just like the steam pots and, you know. But if you cook them slow, then they just swell, and then they look gorgeous for your different items that you're going to be doing. Depends on the bean, because kidney beans cook a lot faster. This one I just put it overnight, so I checked them this morning and it was pretty good. So yeah, it just depends. Every bean cooks a little different, and depends how long you've had the beans as well. And of course, if you've had the beans way too long, they'll just stay hard. You can cook them for 3 days and they're still going to be hard. You ever have that happen to you? Yeah. So anyway, that's looking good though. Now the thing about these carbs, the reason I'm sharing this with you, let me do it this way. I got some books here I want to share with you. This one's called The Low Carb Fraud. T. Colin Campbell, he wrote the China Study. Shows how you, a really quick read, just shows how you need to eat more carbs. This one's called The Gluten Lie. And they show where out of every 200 people that are going gluten-free, only one is a celiac or gluten intolerant. The other 199 out of 200 people that are going gluten-free have just been sucked into the lie that the manufacturers have turned into a $12 billion industry. And the interesting part about this book, they show you how where they had these people who thought they were celiacs and gluten intolerant, gave them a placebo pill with nothing in it, told them it was gluten, they actually had a physical reaction. That's how powerful the brain is. Then they took the same group of people, actually gave them a gluten pill, told them it was something else, never had a reaction at all. You know, this is how powerful the brain is when it comes to, here's another book called How Not to Die. This one here is Dr. Michael Greger. He was probably one of the top medical doctors in the world right now, especially when it comes to science. He's like the science genius. His website is called nutritionfacts.org. Nutritionfacts.org. He has everything you could ever imagine when it comes to getting healthy. I mean, it's just amazing the work that he's done. Oh, I got it signed too, by the way. Yeah, last year, I don't know, some of you may have seen my cooking programs on television. And if you have, I got a stack of jeans that have been in my closet for 30 years. They're all brand new, size 36-inch waist pants. They've been in my closet for 30 years. I mean, still got the price tags on them and everything. And last year, I was the opening speaker for Dr. Michael Greger at the whole conference, the big conference in California. And I wore those size 36-inch waist pants. And now they're even getting loose on me. And I left the price tags on them. You know, I had to leave the price tags on them. So, but that was fun. And so that's Dr. Michael Greger. And this book's called The Starch Solution, Dr. McDougall. And he shows where 70% of your diet needs to be in carbs and starches. 70%. Now you're thinking, that's just crazy. But yes, 70% carbs and starches. And then here's the best book. This is my favorite one. It's called The Low Carb Myth. This is Dr. Ari Whitten and Wade Smith. And this one has, it's a New York Times bestseller, has 490 scientific sources showing how you need to eat more carbs. And this book, it was sold out on Amazon, but I think they've got it back now. But this really has a lot of science and a lot of statistics, shows where the people that eat the most carbs have the least amount of type 2 diabetes. But you still, if you have type 2, you got to reverse it first. I'll show you how to do that too. Have any of you ever heard of the blue zones? There's 5 blue zones in the world. Loma Linda, California with the Seventh-day Adventists. That's the only blue zone in America. You've got Okinawa, Japan, which Okinawa, Japan, those men live longer than any men on the planet. And they eat a lot of soy products, too. I'll talk about that this week. We need to eat more soy. Then there's Sardinia, Italy, and Costa Rica. There's 5 of them. And those 5 blue zones, people are living 10 to 15 years longer than anybody else even surrounding them. And the common characteristic, they all eat a plant-strong lifestyle, and they all eat a high-carb diet. Nowadays, here in America, a lot of people have been falling away from the healthy lifestyle that, you know, we've had the wisdom and knowledge through the spirit of prophecy on, and, you know, but the church is definitely falling away, and those numbers are dropping. We're actually getting worse and worse, more like mainstream society. So, but anyway, this is a really good book. In fact, Kenya, 90% of their diet is in carbs. 90%. Have you ever seen an overweight person from Kenya? Yeah. And they never, ever have heart disease. They just don't. The only reason their doctors know about heart disease is people migrating from other countries. But that's the low-carb myth. That's a really fabulous book there. So, all right. This is looking really good here. This is really coming along. This is doing good. I'm going to make some pasta right here, so we'll get our pasta going. It looks like the rice still has 12 minutes left. And hopefully I can get this boiling here. I don't need gloves for this one. It's starting to boil here. So what I'm going to do with this pasta, here's where if you put in salt, it's going to jack up that temperature, and it just foams up. And so you really don't need to put anything in the water when you're making pastas and everything. But I'm going to go ahead and put this in here, and we'll get this boiling. And there's lots of good whole grain pasta out there. And then we're going to give this a stir right away. Anytime you're cooking pasta, you want to give this a stir right away. As soon as the pasta goes in there, give it a stir, separate all that, and that'll keep it from sticking together as it boils. Okay. All right. Now, what was I going to talk about? I think I got everything going here. So, woo, that's hot. Okay. So now we're going to get back to the carb thing again, because you had the question, what about type 2 diabetics? Okay. Now, I'm showing you all these carbs here, This is the foundation. This is the foundation that we need to have our kitchen set up as. So today is a foundational day, and I'm just going to put my gloves on because these babies are cold. But what we're going to do, in fact, let me bag one of these up here for you. I'll show you. Because these beans, which are still a little on the hot side, we're going to bag these up. And you can really get as many of these as you want in a baggie. Get all these bagged up here for you. So I'm going to just go like that. And then we're going to just press it. I press it down right here. Usually I let this cool down too. But it's just on a warm. It's not really hot. And I press it as I close it so it's flat like that. See how flat it is? And the reason I want that is because we're going to put those in the refrigerator or the freezer. See these frozen ones here? All frozen, ready to go. And over the next few days, tomorrow is going to be this massive cooking where I'm going to show you how to cook all different types of cuisines all over the world. Just boom, 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 boom. So fast and so easy because you have your product set up. So basically what we're doing is designing your kitchen for success. And this is what I would have in my freezer. I would have stacked up brown rice, stacked up beans and black beans and kidney beans and bulgur wheat and you know, rice of every kind. This is what you want in your kitchen. GMO is another situation. I'm going to try to get to that. My bigger concern is the pesticides rather than the GMOs. You cannot put all GMOs in the same category because there's literally hundreds of different types of GMOs. And some may be perfectly fine. You may never have a problem with it. In fact, some GMOs are designed so that you don't have to use pesticides. But that's just one end of the spectrum. And if that's one end of the spectrum, what about the other end of the spectrum? There may be other GMOs out there that are so bad for you, we can't even imagine. So we don't know the difference between one and another. That's the bigger problem with GMOs, genetically modified organisms. By pesticides. That's why if you get organic, that's non-GMO. If it says USDA organic or 100% organic, that's non-GMO. I don't fall for that little trick that says non-GMO verified. Have you seen that lately on different containers? Non-GMO verified? That still has pesticides in it. Yeah, they're actually selling you the product that they used to with the pesticides in it. And you're thinking you're eating healthier. Oh, it's non-GMO. I'm going to go grab that one. It's loaded with pesticides. So, you know, but that was a trick that Monsanto and these companies did. They actually paid to fear people away from GMOs. This is really interesting. Monsanto paid people. I know, it sounds crazy, but here's what happened. They feared people so much away from GMOs that now they're willing to pay that extra 50 cents per item, that extra quarter, that extra dollar to eat the stuff that they were eating before that had all their pesticides in it, including the Roundup, which is from Monsanto. See, so they're able to charge more money for the food that they were selling you before. They're making bank, you know, just because they feared you off of their own product. They could care less. They could care less whether you buy this seed or an organic seed. They own the whole lot, so they don't care which one you eat. You know, they're going to make money either way, but if you're feared into buying something that was the dirt cheap before, man, they're really making bank. So I agree. I think organic's the way to go. All right, so we got this pasta going. Now, I'm going to share with you a new word because I'm going to really, how many of you have ever heard this word retrogradation? Nobody. Retrogradation. That's because this is all new, and I wanted to give you something new right off the bat here today. Retrogradation. I just did an event last year for 100 doctors. I was training 100 doctors up in Chicago. Retrogradation is the process of taking these healthy carbs and turning them into starch-resistant carbs. Now, have you heard of starch-resistant carbs? Okay, we need to eat more of the starch-resistant carbs. Now, how do you make carbs starch-resistant? The way you do that is after you're done cooking, you refrigerate them or you freeze them. That creates starch-resistant food. Have you ever taken potatoes and you throw them in the fridge and you know how they tighten up? Right, you just created starch-resistant food. Now, the reason this is so critically important is because when you have starch-resistant food, it takes longer for your body to digest it. It takes longer to break it down. And for type 2 diabetics, this is a game changer. Because if you eat the hot potato, woo! But if you eat the cold potato, now it takes longer so you don't spike your blood sugar and it actually releases its energy slower. See, so you're getting a lot more value out of your starch-resistant food. And even if you refrigerate the food and reheat it, it's still starch-resistant. And they just did a test with chickpeas. This was like just a couple months ago. And they took chickpeas, they refrigerated them, heated them, refrigerated them, heated them, did that three times, and they found out it was far more starch-resistant than if you only did it once. So it was just a game changer in that element as well. And so here's the huge, huge benefit to having these starch-resistant foods is that it will give you a far better bacteria and flora in your intestines. Now, when you have this far better bacteria and flora in your intestines, then you're not going to be as susceptible to these pesticides and GMO situations because you're more protected. You got this better flora and better gut bacteria. And so the Roundup, or you know, the pesticides, don't cause the leaky gut syndrome and the celiac disease. Like people, you know, when you eat nothing but hot potatoes, hot French fries, hot, everything, and you don't have the right bacteria and flora, then your Roundup, your pesticides are attacking, and that's how you end up with the, and once again, we're looking at the cause where eating the wheat would be the reaction to this. See, it's not the cause, it's actually the pesticides that's the cause, the glyphosate. Just to get technical, it's actually the glyphosate that is attacking your body that creates celiac disease and leaky gut syndrome. But if you're eating those starch-resistant carbs, you're making your whole body more resistant so it doesn't get attacked as easy from these pesticides. So once again, it's the reaction, but now we know what the cause is, so you get your body working, and then you won't have to deal with the reaction later on. So, make sense? Not really, no. Not that I know of, yeah. I mean, certain things, you'll lose a little nutrient when you cook it. Other things, you actually gain a little nutrient when you cook it. So it kind of depends which food it is. But for the most part, you're going to be fine either way. So, okay. But this is why we need to eat more carbs. And so tomorrow, we're just going to have this, the next 2 days, actually, you're going to have this cooking frenzy up here. I'll have recipes every day. Now, if you did not sign up for the drawing back there, we are going to have a drawing every day. You do not need to put your names in the drawing every day because we're just going to use those. So if you come back tomorrow, you don't need to fill out another slip. And, of course, I got the lemon water station and the book table over here. I got a book table over there. Got a brand new book called Simply Incredible Flavor on the end and really teaches you how to flavor all these healthy foods that we should be eating more of. See, one of the biggest problems we have, nobody knows how to flavor the food. So we got this reputation that, oh, I don't want to eat this boring food. Well, if you know how to flavor it, and I even show you how to flavor it in different nationalities, then you're going to be a lot happier with it. You know, most of us guys, we don't care anywhere. Long as it's filling us up, we're happy. Okay, let me see if I can get these potatoes out of here. I'm going to see if they're done first, I guess. Woo! And I can see that they're done. A couple of them are popping apart. And I'm going to share with you how to do this. This looks pretty done, too. I'm going to shut that off. Okay. So we'll see if we can get these potatoes out of here. Woo! Okay, that's hot. You can see how those skins are coming off. It's pretty done. About just right, actually. These are big potatoes. See how that's coming off there a little bit? Oh, man, those are hot. Big potatoes, too. Now, so what we're going to do with these potatoes is you're going to want to let them air dry. So that means you're just going to let them cool out in the open. And after they cool, then I'll put it in baggies and put it in the fridge. I don't freeze too many potatoes. You can freeze them. If you freeze them, I actually cook them less if I'm going to freeze them. I'm only going to cook them about halfway. There's my timer for the rice, but my pasta's done too, so I've got to get some multitasking done here. I'm running out of containers. Okay, let's see here. Let's do this. I'm going to run out of containers here, I think. We improvise, overcome, and adapt, right? I've got this one too. Ah! Okay, that's hot. Okay, here we go. I should have a lid here for it. Sometimes I have a lid. I probably do. I have different size lids up here for some reason. Okay. So get that drained. And the other thing we're going to do with this pasta is we're going to lay this flat on a pan like this. That's the way we're going to dry this pasta. Yes, we're drying the pasta. Okay, just like the potatoes, these are going to dry, they're going to cool, then we can refrigerate them. Now with the pasta here, you can spray it with a little bit of oil if you want, but you don't need to, but that will help keep it from sticking together too bad. The reason that you want to dry this pasta is because we want to get the outsides of the pasta to start dehydrating, basically. You ever go to a restaurant and you order spaghetti or whatever, and you see the sauce just running off the pasta? That's because they did not know how to treat pasta. And what you do is you let this dry till it's cold, and then we can stick it in the fridge, pull it out tomorrow. We'll actually cook with this tomorrow. But what happens is if you dry up the outsides of the pasta, then when you add the sauce to it, the pasta grips onto that sauce because it wants that moisture. And that's what keeps the sauce sticking to the pasta. Does that make sense? Okay, yeah, where most people, they're going to just rinse it off with cold water or hot water or something, and then they turn around and put the sauce on, and the sauce just runs right off the pasta. So this is the intelligent way, if you really want to get good quality in your sauces and pastas and everything, just let this dry, and then you're good to go. All right, now I heard some bells going off behind me here, so let's go ahead and see what we got done. This is the rice right here. It's been, how long has it been here? In fact, I'm going to do it this way. We'll go here, and we're going to go here, and we'll go here, and we'll go here. Okay, so here's your rice. Look at that, 45 minutes, it was 25 minutes with boiling it, right? Drain the water off, and then you just let it steam for another 25 minutes, and then you have the perfect rice. Now, the reason this works so much better for rice is the fact that most people's rice is either undercooked on the inside or overcooked on the outside. So what this does, you're cooking it on the outside for 25 minutes. Then you drain the water, and you're letting it steam, cooking the inside the rest of the way. And that's how you end up with the perfect rice. It's just, wow. And you freeze this, you can do anything you want. It works with every rice, too. Right here is the bulgur wheat. 45 minutes later, steaming hot, ready to go. In fact, if we were going to do a bowl here, and we're going to have a little snack after every program. We're going to have a buffet line coming right through here. Today, I've got the bean pot here, which you can sample. So you'd have your bean pot, which is a Southwest flavor. And then you put either your bulgur wheat or your rice on the top. I'll put both just on here just for the fun of it. And this would be called a three-component soup. So if you have three components like this, that means you get $20 for it in a restaurant. That's what restaurants do, you know, to kind of kick up the price. They'll get a little fancy. But that's the way you do it. And these are going to get bagged up into baggies just like this. So tomorrow, that's what we do at home. We pull our baggie out of the freezer, we put it in the fridge for a day or two, and boom, you got that ready to serve. And you're going to see how amazingly fast it is to cook when you've got your kitchen designed for success. All right, one more thing I got to share with you here, because I got to get this going, is I've got a potato here. Hopefully that's done enough. Let me see if it's pretty good, pretty good. Okay, we're going to make some mayonnaise, vegan mayonnaise. And I'm going to do this with potatoes. Ouch. Okay, this is hot. Do not try this at home. Ow, 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 ow. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ow, that's hot. That's hot. That's hot. Okay, it works better with gloves, but it's hot. Ooh. Okay. Now, I know, and my hands are used to it. Woo! That's the real way you play hot potato. Oh, boy, was that hot. Don't try this at home, kids. Okay. Now, if you've got the recipes out there, we've got a recipe right there for the mayonnaise. I've got my liquid right here, which is, it's going to be, let me look it up real quick here. This is the vinegar, the coconut milk, and that's it. And then we've got the almond flour right here. This is all the dry ingredients on that list. So that's your ingredients there. And then I've got a tofu right here. This is a extra firm silken tofu. I don't know if they have this next door here. But they got a lot of good stuff in that grocery little shopping center here. So you're going to have to make sure you get in there and see what they got. And I don't know why, but I just want to do one more potato. Here, I'll do this potato. Ooh, that's hot. Pretty much. I use the Yukon Golds usually, but you can. It gives it a little rubbery, firmer texture on it, but we've done that. In fact, I'll talk about that because we're going to be doing some tofu eggs coming up. So let me get this baby blending here. Oh for three. Now, you've got mayonnaise. Doesn't really look like mayonnaise, though, does it? It will. Yes. Tomorrow. I think we're going to use this either Wednesday or Thursday. But this is going to go in the fridge. And once it goes in the fridge, it's going to turn exactly into mayonnaise. And nobody will know. Nobody will know. And this has 10 calories of fat per tablespoon rather than 30 to 60 calories from fat like a regular tablespoon mayonnaise does. And so it's far healthier for you. Made out of potatoes. Uh-huh. Shelf life, we've had this in the fridge for over 3 weeks without a problem. In the fourth week, it ended up getting gritty, kind of like it was starting to curdle. If you use lemon instead of vinegar, which a lot of people like to use lemon juice, it does give it a different flavor, and you've only got about 10 days with it. So, but the vinegar does last longer. I don't use the fermented vinegars. The ones you want to stay away from is the balsamics that are like 17-year-old fermented. That's more like alcohol. The other vinegars are just kind of it's a steamed process. It's not like it used to be. So I have tried that, and I didn't like the flavor of it. So, yeah, but that's an amazing recipe. I mean, Melody Prettyman and I got in the kitchen here. We were looking at all these different mayonnaise recipes on the internet, and every one of them was horrible. Oh, man, we tried a few of them. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, and we've tried so many of them, we said, we can't use these anymore. So we just said, let's get in the studio kitchen. And I've got a test kitchen, studio kitchen. My house has four kitchens in it. Yeah, and so 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, four full kitchens. So one of them's just our test kitchen. Then we got two studio kitchens and then a regular kitchen. It's on the flyer back there. And so I did everything just like the recipe except for the potatoes. I used a little different potato. But it'll still turn out fine. So, Reheat the pasta. We're going to do that tomorrow. You can put it in water. You could saute it. I'm actually just going to saute it right on the spot in the sauce. Right, I just put it right in the sauce. It depends what you're going to do with the pasta. But usually I'm going to have the sauce right here, and I'm just going to put it right in the sauce. I probably will. Here's the thing. If y'all don't eat this, it's got to go home with somebody. So hopefully you'll go through these. And we were going to have a drawing, though. Let's grab those tickets because we're going to have a drawing to see who's going to do the dishes. I'll put the napkins and the spoons on this side. And I'll put the bowls right here. So y'all can, you'll start the buffet line here and just exit out this way. And if we got somebody to help serve, we can help serve, but I'll be at the book table here. Now, you don't want to rush me at the book table. I'll be here for 4 days, so you don't have to get your books today. I'll be here every day. Okay, let's grab those drawings here. I've got four drawings. You guys want to draw names? 2, 3, 4. Four drawings. And Rose Brown. Oh, boy, they're going to make me get my exercise today. I know, you don't have a health club around here. I've had to actually just do walking and isometric. Kristen Hoover. This is my website called Inspirations, or my little pocketbook called Inspirations. I got two more drawings. Randy, who? Randy Murphy. And Grace Iannacona. Okay. And this is my DVD called The Cutting Edge, How to Chop Like a Pro. Shows you how to cut everything but your fingers. So, yeah. And tomorrow we're going to go over a whole bunch of different cuisines. It's going to be some fast cooking here. Today I kind of just gave you the basics. Wanted to give you a little testimony about how God has changed my health. And he really has. I mean, I'm so thankful that I'm not eating the way I used to eat. And really, what we need to do is we simply need to train ourselves, okay? Actually, what we need to do is we need to retrain ourselves because we were not trained right the first time. And once you get your bodies retrained into the way you should have been eating all along, you can look back like I do. I cannot believe I used to eat the way I used to eat. And it's just a matter of taking those steps. Be consistent. Be persistent. You know, I heard that the gentleman talking about the New Year's resolutions. I was in the back, you know, back there cooking. And so many people decide, oh, I'm going to get healthy this year. And, you know, it's a lifestyle change. And after you've done it for a little while, I can't believe I used to eat the way I used to eat. So, amen. Let me have a quick prayer, and then we'll get a buffet line started over here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together. We thank you for the joy of giving us a spirit of prophecy that has shown us and instructed us how to eat healthy so that we can live a far more vibrant life for you. And so we just ask those blessings over the food here and ask that you'll help keep us healthy, not just physically, Lord. We want to be strengthened mentally so we can spiritually be closer to you, and that's our whole purpose. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So come on up. We'll just start a...